You, church family, it is a joy and a privilege to be here. Do the kids already get dismissed? Or are they good to go? I don't see any kids. They must have been dismissed. Way to go, kids. We love kids. Good job, kids. I'm going to do two things before I actually get going, if that's all right. First off, if you don't mind, Willard, can you say, hello, Germany?
Hello, Germany.
I'm going to send that to them and say, you guys... I was here, and you guys are praying for them, all right? Sound good? To my coworkers back in Germany? All right, sweet. And the second thing I'm going to do, I'm going to set a timer so I know when to stop. Amen to that, right? No, just kidding. It is a joy and a privilege to be here because, you know what? Coming here, I actually have felt quite the welcome and the acceptance, and there is a excited liveliness to you guys. I like you guys. You're fun to be around, and I'm excited to see that you guys are very passionate about missions, and it is actually a great joy and honor and privilege to be here and represent all that's going on in missions for the Alliance. Over 700 missionaries around the world in 30-plus different countries, and I get to stand here and just explain one little snidblet, and that's just a great privilege and joy to actually be able to do that. And so thank you for letting me come and speak. Hopefully you can get through a lot of my craziness, like I'm wearing a crazy hat, right? Woo-hoo. I mean, what's with that hat? This is actually a traditional German hunter's hat. They would actually wear in their traditional clothing. They'd wear vests and stuff when they go hunting in the woods. And so I brought that back from Germany so that I can be reminded that when I'm here preaching and speaking that I'm on a hunt too, you know? I'm on a hunt for finding God's spirit movement. And so it's also my prayer hat. I can put it on and pray. And so hopefully it's not too much of a distraction, but it's a good reminder of traditions in Germany and how what God is doing. So what is God doing? It's exciting in Alliance missions. Something exciting has happened in the last year. It used to be International Ministries, and now they changed the name to Alliance Missions, AM. So went from IM to, no, International Ministries. Yeah, IM to AM, because we are IM, okay? And there used to be four different partner groups that was kind of sister-related, quasi-CMA branches, and now they are finally actually pulled in together so that we can be more networking, more connection. And these four groups, as you see here, the hand, that stands for comma services. Anybody know what comma is? That is the relief and development. We just sent some comma workers actually to the Bahamas with the hurricane relief. So comma is an awesome branch. You have Marketplace Ministries. They actually send trained business professionals. So if you're like a printing press person or someone, you have people in, we're recording this, aren't we? Are we recording this? I'll just say in various other countries, I'm not going to say which countries, people are being trained and skilled for how to teach others to speak English better. So when you get that telephone operator and you're kind of frustrated, I want to talk with a person, but they sound kind of different from a different country. Well, we have actually Alliance workers teaching them how to sound more American and be able to how to respond better to help you out better, which is pretty cool. So they can go into these countries and they can do these jobs and teach them various skills and trades, and they can then tell them about Jesus in the process of doing that. So that's Marketplace Ministries. On the far end, you have the Compass. That's Envision. Who knows about Envision? Yeah? Pretty exciting. Well, I love Envision. I'm excited to see what happens with it. You have Envision Cleveland, of course. You have Envision Paris. There's also, hopefully within the next year and a half, open up a Envision in Berlin. So we're excited to see what happens with that, too, about someone who is coordinating short-term trips and then making a long-lasting impact through all these various short-term trips, which is pretty awesome to think about. And so, love Envision. And then my family and I, we are sent out from Access. That's the new name. It used to be Fields and Teams. Now we're called Access. Because this is the meeting point where Christ comes into a culture and someone's life has changed and they take a new route. That's that meeting point of Christ and that person in the culture. And it's also about access that's spelt incorrectly on purpose so that you think about gospel access. Gospel access into regions of places that they don't have opportunity to either hear the word or meet someone who actually can tell you who is Jesus Christ and how they have transformed their lives. So that's what we are sent up, my wife and I, through Access, if you don't mind going, clicking along. Meet the family. Sadly, they could not come this weekend. We had hoped that they could come and be here, but my wife got pretty sick on Friday, and so she laid up in bed, and I didn't want the little ones, I thought it'd be hard to have the little ones running around my feet while I'm trying to present, but then my wife was like, well, why don't you just take the older ones? But then she'd have the little ones running around her while she was, you know, trying to lay in bed. So I thought, you keep the older ones to take care of the little ones, and so they're at home in Indianapolis right now, but we have my wife, Erin, Viola, who's 9, Lily, who is 7, Josiah is 5, and Rosalind was born in Germany. She's 3. And so they are a hoot and a half. And just for fun, let you know, Rosalind, she has 2 nicknames that have been given her. She is called the Slippery Noodle and the Feral Child. So she is a bundle of joy, but she keeps you on your toes. And it's been fun to have them to understand that when we went to Germany and we got sent there, we weren't just sent as like Caleb got sent and the family got dragged along. No, we actually got sent as an entire family. We felt this, the call from the Lord to say, hey, we want the whole family to go to Germany. And we've also seen that only I ministry, my wife does ministry, but even the kids, my kids have been actually preaching the gospel of Jesus in their schools, in these German, you know, German public schools where they really don't like talking about Jesus, but my kids are doing it anyways. And so I just love my kids and how the faith-filled actions that they have. They're just great. All right. Let's click ahead. So why Germany? Why are we sent into Germany? You think about gospel access. They have technology. They've got cars. They've got radio. They've got the internet. They have the access to the gospel, right? They can just look up online and see who is Jesus and what does it mean. Well, in that sense, yes, they have that access. But if you want to mean access as in a personal explanation, to meet someone face-to-face, eye-to-eye, and say, who is Jesus and how he transformed my life and how he can transform your life, if you think about it in that sense, where we are in northeast Germany, in Wagen, Germany, which is 2 hours north of Berlin, the heart of old East Germany, communistic, there's less than 1% evangelical believers in our region. So it is actually considered one of the most atheistic countries or places in the world, actually. So this is a very difficult place to be in the sense of most people in town, even though they might be friendly to you, they'll say, well, I don't need Jesus. I don't need the church. I don't need religion. I've got my family. I've got a job. I've got a house. I've got my sports clubs. I'm good. Why would I need the church or Jesus? And so in that sense, with atheism, it's a very hard place to be. But there's exciting news about that. Not really exciting news about atheism. There's nothing really exciting about atheism. But exciting news that God is actually on the move. He's on the work. That God is actually intentionally in moving his Holy Spirit throughout little pockets of groups throughout Germany and northeast Germany. So if you want to click to the next slide, please. I have come in contact with various people who are studying their Bible studies or other church pastors or other missionaries that are there. And God is giving the same vision, the same story, the same thought, and same Bible verse, Isaiah 43:19, which says, behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. I got that picture right there on the bottom left because we went to a blessing house and to get away for a week just to rest and get vacation and just kind of calm down. And while we were there, found out that the people that were running it actually would pray for us before we even got there. And the second day we were there, he came and said, you know, we prayed for you and we've been praying for a word from the Lord for you. And so take it as you will. This is what we heard for you guys. If it doesn't mean anything, just throw it away. If it means something, great. Take it home with you. And so he said, this is what we heard. And so he told each person, you know, what they heard from the Spirit while they're praying. And so this is what I heard for you, this is what I heard for you. Then he came to my turn and he said, Caleb, when we came to you, we just saw northeast Germany was a big, flat desert. Like, oh my goodness, that's not a good place to start. You know, I come here for a rest and vacation, you know, and then you're saying about desert, this is not a good place to start. He's like, but while we looked at the desert, all of a sudden it erupted in fire, just fire everywhere. And then as we walked closer, we saw that these actually weren't flames, they're actually flowers that we've never seen before that looked like little flames, and they're blowing in the wind. And right before that, the eruption of this fiery flowers, we looked underneath the soil and we could see there was this whole network of roots growing and spreading underneath the soil, waiting for the right harvest time that would erupt with Holy Spirit movement. It's like, I can take that. That is awesome. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, and then we went back from that blessing house to our team, and our team said, we think there's a Bible verse that we should adopt as a team. And this is it. And it's Isaiah 43:19. Like, this is the same thing we just got a prayer vision about. This is awesome. So we are adopting this idea. And also these flowers on the right is just one more example of this idea. At the same exact time, 2 years before, we got to Germany in our apartment, and we were allowed to do gardening in the backyard. And our landlord said, you can do that. And so I'm gardening, and I love gardening, working with my hands. It's so much fun and joy. Be able to pull weeds and see the growth process from, you know, a little bulb to nothing. So the first year I got there, I planted a whole bunch of bulbs and didn't really see a whole lot of flowers grow up. But then 2 years later, all of a sudden, our landlord said, you can no longer work in the garden. I'm just taking away that right with no reason, just surprise. I'm like, oh my goodness, there goes my joy. You know, like, what am I going to do instead of gardening? And that was like a good time of sitting there working with my hands and just praying while I'm doing, you know, the weeding and things like that. And now that's gone. And so I see my garden just growing up with these weeds. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is just such a devastation. It's so sad, you know. It's like, oh, how, you know, just the bitterness of, you know, the atheistic people and just those weeds coming up, choking up all those flowers. But then out of the blue, without any help at all on my part since I did my weeding, those bulbs that hadn't birthed, that had grown for 2 years, all of a sudden popped up. And there's those tulips that out of my work at all comes these flowers out of the ground, out of the weeds, this beautiful flower out of nothing, just this image of God saying, I'm doing something. You know, you might think you're doing things, but it's really me who makes the plants grow and the work that will go. So I was like, oh, awesome, that's exciting. So flowers, I love flowers. It's very manly, flowers are, just in case. So anyways, let's move on. Huh? All right. How many of you know our teammates, the Ben and Sarah Carey or Kenny and Krissa Young? Anyone? Yeah, no? Oh, okay. Well, they have been on tour before, and they were raising funds. And if you have then donated to the latest exciting cause, I just want to say thank you for giving. And if you haven't, I'll just tell you what it's been. We actually had opportunity to buy a ministry property in our town in Varen, which has a big old house in the front that can actually house one of the missionary couples, and we actually do our house church through there. It has a big old yard with a bonfire pit that we can do youth group events and just men's events. And in the back, there's actually a guest house that we can actually host teams and people to come through. And so we actually, through Isaiah 43:19, named that house Thousand Vasa House, which is Thousand Water House, the idea of blessing, God's provision, and God's opportunity and outpouring of His Spirit. And so we've been able to use that house for hosting teams. So if there's any American teams that want to come over for our English camps and things, I'm just saying there's opportunity to house people in Germany. Just saying, if you're picking up my vibe here. Okay, so if anybody wanted to come to Germany, we can house you. Also, we have found out that our town is a very touristy town. We have a lot of Germans from all over Germany come to our town just for rest and get away, walk in the woods, go sailing, camping. And so they see a lot of people come and go. And they saw us come just 8 years ago, our teams came. And they thought, oh, we'll see how long they stay. But now that we've bought a property and we own a property, they're thinking, oh, you're here for the long haul. And so it's exciting to see what might happen also, just the sense of having this property and having some longevity there. All right, next slide, please. Okay, who wants to hear something from the Bible and not just my ramblings? Yeah? Anybody? Okay, well, if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to it, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, or electronic device. I allow you to turn it on to look at the Bible. Uh-huh. So we are all about prayer in Northeast Germany. We love prayer. And I'm going to go ahead and pray for us as you guys flip your pages. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. I thank you for this group of brothers and sisters, this local church that you have started and you are growing and you are speaking and you are using to reach the community here and abroad. And I just thank you for their hearts and their passions and their obedience to you. And Lord God, I just pray that as we read your words and we dive in a little bit more, we just pray that your name be glorified, that your Spirit can come and move in our own hearts and bring understanding, and we can hear what you have to say, Lord God. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. All right. So, who has read 1 Corinthians? Anyone? Anyone read 1 Corinthians? No one? Yeah? Okay, yeah. 1 Corinthians, good book, long book. But if you read 1 Corinthians, you find out that, man, that church had a lot of problems, right? They had a lot of problems, a lot of strange problems, too, but don't we all have problems, right? We all have problems, and we have family members who have problems. There's the black sheep of the family and things that just go on. And so problems are no new thing. They've been around. And the exciting part is with Jesus Christ, he enters in with us in our problems and our issues, And he works with us through all those problems and issues. And a lot of times what we see, a redeeming quality that God actually changes and influences those problems for his glory and his sake. And so the 1 Corinthians are not any different. They had their own problems. And Paul has been there twice now. And by the time of 2 Corinthians, he's writing them another letter. The first letter was trying to correct a lot of those problems. The second letter was trying to give them a lot of encouragement. Chapter 1 through 4, you're thinking he's really talking to them, giving them encouragement. You guys are seeing difficult times, hard times. You think about treasures and jars of clay in chapter 4 and just saying, oh, you've been pressed on every side, but you have a treasure, which is Jesus Christ, and he's with you. And so he's trying to encourage their hearts. And then you get to chapter 9, and he's saying, you guys are doing awesome with your church. You realize that there are needs out there, and you are going above and beyond to take care of other people's needs. And even to the point that there's a church north of you in Macedonia, which is in northern Greece, that the closest church to them, hey, they're having issues and problems, and you guys collected money, and you actually sent money up to them to help them out, and which is really awesome. And then in chapter 10, we're here, and he kind of changes and shifts his focus here, because he finds out that there's actually a lot of people that are somewhat attacking his character and who he is. And so it's kind of a shift then from saying encouragement to saying, hey, now guys, you've been saying this about me. You say, like, when I write these letters, I'm very strict, like in 1 Corinthians. You know, I'm really strict and you're real hard. But then when it comes to when I come there in person, I'm just this lovey-dovey, big huggy guy, kind of comfortable. Even one person says, his words amount to nothing when you're there. And it's like, what is that? Like, that's not a great compliment, you know? So he's saying, there's this dichotomy that the Corinthians are having a hard time putting together. And so he's trying to resolve this issue. But when Paul, instead of just defending himself, he actually takes the opportunity to focus not on himself but the kingdom values, saying, don't focus on the outward expression or what's going on outwardly. You're missing the mark when you do. When you look at just the outside of someone's personal demeanor or how they do things, you're missing the mark, the point of what is God doing in God's kingdom. And so he's encouraging to look into the kingdom and what's going on. So let's start chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. We're jumping right into this issue here. For we are not overextending ourselves, which he's saying, it's not that hard to imagine, right? As if we did not reach to you. For we were the first to come, even as far as you in the gospel of Christ. So we were the first ones to come to Corinth and start something that's going on with the gospel of Christ. Not boasting beyond our own measures. We're not trying to boast about this, like what's going on, this outward, like, hey, look at us. Now, in other men's labors, what they have been done, but with the hope that as your faith grows, we will be within our sphere, enlarged even more by you. So as to preach the gospel, even to regions beyond you, sounds familiar, regions beyond, and not to boast in what has been accomplished in the sphere of another. But he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. Amen. Cool. So, what does that mean? Why would Paul write this? And how can that affect us here at this church and Alliance Missions in general today? First off, we see in verse 14, for we are not overextending ourselves if we did not reach to you, for we were the first to come with the gospel of Christ. Paul did not come to Corinth with just, hey, pray this prayer and you're good to go. You know, like, that's it. If you can just pray this prayer, we're good to go. The gospel of Christ is not just simply a prayer, or we might say fire insurance. The gospel of Christ influences all of life that goes on. If you have Christ, you can click it to the next slide, a little button there, yeah? If you have the gospel of Christ in you, this is a holistic aspect, because when Paul came, he came not just for the individual, he came for whole families, family social dynamics, then he came also for social dynamics. There are people who were in need, in financial need, and he helped redistribution of wealth in that sense, took care of needs. And then he also did some political points that he did in the community in trying to help alleviate some of the tension between politics and the church and what's going on. And so when he came with the gospel, it was this holistic idea that this gospel, of this good news of who Jesus is, his dying for you on the cross, it intersects with you in your life, this whole axis, intersecting a point where it changes your whole life and your whole life trajectory. I used to be going this way, but now I'm going this way, and everything I do is focused and centers around Christ and what he's done for me and how I can affect other people. And so this is a whole bigger picture than just a prayer, this gospel. Paul brought that to the Corinthians, and they saw that, and it started to grow like wildfire, I could say. Next click. Verse 15, he says, not boasting about our own measure or what other people do, but with the hope that as your faith grows, we will be, as your faith grows, I'm stopping there, we will be, as your faith grows. Paul also understood that when you say a prayer and you begin this walk with Jesus, you don't just stop a walk with Jesus and say, I'm good, I'm staying here. No, but if you're with Jesus through this journey, this lifelong journey, you're walking with him, and as you go with him, he starts changing you, and you start developing you, growing you. And as I always tell my kids, just as like the abyss of the ocean, they don't actually know how deep down it goes until the magma, whatever it is, you know, there's always more to Jesus. It just keeps on going on and on and on. There's no end to the amount of Jesus that you can have. And that's the exciting part. Or just universe going out in the stars. There's just always more expansion. There's more to Christ, more that you can understand. And also with that, how he can change and affect us. If you wouldn't believe it or not, that I used to be an angry person. If you look at me, smiling, right? I used to have a lot of anger, but Christ actually came and he changed that in me. And altered that, where I found joy and freedom and got to be able to let go of some of that anger, which is pretty amazing. There's always more in depth of Christ, and still I have issues myself. I'm not perfect. I'm not there yet. There's more for Christ that I can have, and that's exciting too. So as your faith grows, there's more to that. Okay, next one. Okay, it says, that as your faith grows, we will be within our sphere, enlarged even more by you. Oh, sorry. More by you. What's crazy to think about, he's saying, is what you are doing affects me. And what I do affects you. And as we are together, as like a family of God or brothers and sisters or a church or people in the community, we're kind of all interconnected and bound somehow. That what I do does affect us so that as together, instead of individual parts that could do a little bit, as we come together, we can do a whole lot more together than we could individually. And so that as your faith grows, and then as my faith grows, together, that we can be enlarged even more by you, that we can go on to greater things of and other things. We'll get there just yet. All right, click ahead, please. The top ones. Okay, so the Alliance has seen this, and they said, these are great, awesome things, and we need to focus three things on what Alliance is going to be doing in the future. And they say this is serving communities, so the holistic gospel. This is not just a prayer. We need to intersect communities and their families and their homes, and we need to actually be involved about the gospel change for a whole community. And so that is about blessing and serving communities. The next one is about developing people, that as your faith grows, we realize that you guys aren't done yet. I'm not done yet. We all need to grow, and we need to take further steps with Christ. What does that look like? Whether that be either just spiritually, you know, whether it be emotionally, whether it be with a job occupationally, whether it be familial with your family. Get that right, with your family. So you realize that we're developing people, and so we're also developing one another. All right, next one. And then, as enlarged even more by you, we are all about the growth of the church and also about the expansion of the church. Not just, I love your guys' prayer today, not just Christ community, but also the other churches in the town. If we can grow the church in the town even more, hallelujah, awesome, right? So this is a bigger picture that's going on, that we can multiply churches, start new churches, grow churches, encourage churches. So these are the three things that Alliance Missions is focusing on. Now you can say, okay, Caleb, you're talking a lot about Bible and just the American church. What about Germany? What's going on there? Next slide, please. Which, here we go. In Germany, we are also, in our town, we're trying to do these three exact same things. That's what we have been doing. That's what we're going to be trying to focus on doing even more in greater context. Serving communities. We have been serving community that we've been trying to bless our community so much that they actually don't want us to ever leave, which is a good thing, right? That's what we want. The community, we've been giving, how can you serve a German community that has, like I said, pretty much everything felt need that they could need? You know, they have a lot of jobs. They have socialism, healthcare. They have all that taken care of. They also have sports groups and things like that. So how can we serve and bless our community? Well, there's one thing in our small town of Wachen, which is about 22,000 people, very atheistic town. There's only a handful of people that actually speak English, or at least adults that speak English. And so they are in a great need of English speakers to come into their schools and do English programs and camps and things like that. So we saw, this is an easy felt need that we can reach and bless them with. So we have been coming and offering free English classes throughout the week for kids and adults. We've also been hosting English camps. In the spring, we do a day camp where the elementary kids come and they learn some English theme fun stuff and they go back out. And then in the summer, we have two 1 week long English immersion camps where the teens come and just get immersed and they try to eat American food and speak American English and try to do American sports, and it's been fun to watch them try to do all those things. And then we go into an old farmhouse and we sleep there all together, and that's it's pretty fun and exciting. Then also the English opportunity is my wife has been teaching at a English Christian-based school. Yeah, there's a Lutheran school where the director is a believer, but all the other teachers aren't. But she saw that they needed English teachers, so my wife volunteers 2 days a week at that English school. She teaches at the German school. I teach English at the school. But they actually said, we love your guys' organization so much and what you've been doing for free for us, that if you wanted to actually send an ESL person, like here, we could give them a full-time pay, German pay, just to do this job, 40 hours a week at a German school to teach English. That'd be pretty exciting, huh? So if you guys know any ESL teachers that want to go to Germany for a year or two, there's a possibility of opportunities there. All right, so we've been serving the community and doing English. And even at one point, we couldn't do an English camp because we didn't have enough workers, just rotations and people coming and going off the field. There's only two Alliance workers that were on our VARN team at the time. So we couldn't do an English camp at the time. And the Germans said, you know what? We're going to go ahead and bless you in return, because you've been blessing us all these years. We're going to bless you in return. And they actually took 8 Germans and went to northern Ohio, Germany here to the Grace Church and held a week-long German camp. And so here's these atheistic people coming into a church building, staying with Christian believers in their homes, and teaching these Ohio children German. And through the process, they also then attended their Sunday morning service, and they said through that process, they never felt such love and acceptance before, and especially the worship for even the adults, the worship, they never felt something so alive before, and they're attracted to just spirit-filled worship. And so they actually came back to they came back to Germany, and they're saying, we might possibly want to start our own little house church for us 8 that went to America. We're like, that's awesome, let's do it. So they came to America. It's kind of like a missions trip in reverse in a way, isn't it? Yeah. So maybe if you guys want, we could send more Germans here if you want to do a German camp. That'd be fun. Okay, so that's serving communities. All right, multiplying church networks. We are all about multiplying what God has already been doing. So we're trying to actually in Germany, in Northeast Germany there, in our town, we're trying to start a house church, which we tried for several years and just couldn't get underway. People would be kind of interested, not, until finally last January, one actually took root, and we're actually be able to, every week since then, been doing a house church since last January, which is very exciting. And people are coming and attracted to that. But we also want to not just do our own house churches right now. We also want to bless the churches that are already there. We're the 7th church in our town of 22,000 people that just started there, in which we have been trying to network with the other churches that are there. How can we support and encourage you guys and do this in partnership? So it's not just about us. It's about what Christ is doing in general. And then on the third thing, developing people. How are we developing people? We are all about helping people take the next steps. Germans will love to talk about theology or about why they're atheistic and why they don't need Jesus. But for them to actually make that commitment step takes a lot of time and a lot of work. They are very safe people, and they don't like doing things haphazard or spur of the moment. And so they put a lot of contemplation into that. So we are doing soul care and pastoral care things with these Germans. But beyond that, we also are involved in a lot of youth group, and we're also looking for who has God designated or has gifted that we could find and choose and save and disciple so that they could plant the church and not us. Because Germans planting their own church would be much more effective than Americans trying to plant a German church. So we're actually on the hunt. We're on the hunt to find Germans who will plant their own church. So those are kind of the three things that we are focusing on in our team. All right, next one. Why are we doing all this? Because we're going to regions beyond. Go ahead and click it through. 2 Corinthians 10:16, which says, So as you preach the gospel to the regions beyond you, we want to do something going on beyond into new territory in Waren, so that he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. This is what we're doing. We don't want to do this just because how awesome we are, how awesome is Germany, how awesome is the missionaries. No, we're doing this so that we can all bring praise and glory to God, because it's God who's going to build his church, God who's moving, and we just want to jump on with what God is doing to build his church. Amen? Amen. Awesome. Okay. So, go ahead and click there. Okay. On the right there, you see a building. That is the apartment that we lived in. We were on the top floor, about 936 square feet, six of us in that home with one bathroom, which is hard to do when you got kids that are potty trained, I'll tell you that. So we lived in this multifamily home. We were on the top floor, which is the third floor, but Germans call it the second floor. And so we were up there, and we had neighbors. And on the bottom floor was this old woman named Frau Zander, which would be like Mrs. Walleye would translate as. Sweet old woman in her 90s. And the problem with, she was very friendly. She was very formal. She always called me Herr Kohl, and I always called her Frau Zander. We never got to the formal first name basis yet. But she was very sweet, typical, traditional Northeast German grandma, if you could picture one. And she had one problem. The entire house, as soon as we opened our door and the stairwell down those three flights of stairs, coming back up, there was this pungent, overwhelming aroma that you just couldn't get past. Many times people would run up and down and close their nose. They just couldn't get past it. Even to the point of the postal workers, they're supposed to bring our mail all the way up to our door. They wouldn't come in the house at all. They just ring our door and then just leave, you know, because they didn't want to come into this overwhelming smell. And the problem was she needed day-to-day care, and she wasn't getting day-to-day care. But she was still a sweet, sweet woman, and she would always, she needed care, and she wasn't getting it, so she relied on us for a lot of her care needs, which was us being a good neighbors. So we're like, hey, we're loved to be here to help you. And so we'd get phone calls in the middle of the night, and she would say, I've fallen, and she couldn't get up. She was, you know, in some strange position, so we would go down there, because we could get in, because she gave us a spare key to her house, and so we'd unlock the door and go in, and we'd help her back up. Or other times that she, her eyesight would go, and she couldn't see very well, and she goes, I know I spilled spaghetti on my shirt, and she's asking my wife, can you point it out? I'll clean it myself. I want to clean it. Don't do it for me, you know, but can you help me clean my shirt, you know, point out where the stain is, and I'll scrub it out. And so she'd point out the stain. Or to the point of, we had, in front of our house, they rebuilt the street, and so they dug it all up. And so for actually a year and a half, we had no front sidewalk or street. It was just sand or dirt, and we never knew if there would be a huge hole right in front of our house or not. And so she used to go on a 3-mile walk every day to collect her goods and get fresh air and come back every day. Rain, nice weather, snow, didn't matter. She went on her walk, but because of the construction, she could no longer go on her walk to stay physically active. And now she's stuck inside, and she couldn't get her groceries, so she started asking us, and we're like, yeah, we'll help you out, and we were buying groceries for her. But then when her eyesight would go bad again, she couldn't cook things, and so she was like, I'm so sorry to put this burden on you, you know. I'm like, no, this is no problem. We'd love to help you out. So we're bringing down extra plates from our dinner table down to her so she can eat. And then she's like, I thought a lot of Americans ate mashed potatoes, you know. My husband was in a POW camp during the war, and he got served mashed potatoes every day. So we thought everybody eats mashed potatoes. We're like, well, no, not everybody. It's probably just due to the war effort, you know. And so it's like, oh, okay. So she was wondering why there's no mashed potatoes. So we would bring her plates of food, which, of course, she would not let us just do for free. She had to pay us back somehow. So she would either give our kids chocolate or slip money in our mailbox and things like that. And they're like, oh, my goodness, why are you doing that, you know? But she just would love on our kids to the point where our kids would also love on her in return. And they were blessing her, saying, oh, we want to bring our birthday cake down to Frau Zander and celebrate with her also. And so they would celebrate, and she would just be so filled with joy, you know. There was one time that my wife got called down and asked her to sit and wanted to talk for a while because we're having these issues with our landlord and things are not going well, and Frau Zander's having issues with our landlord. And so my wife got invited down to her kitchen table, sitting down, and just the smell is just, you know, strong. There's flies buzzing around everywhere, and it's not a healthy, clean environment to be sitting in. My wife is just sitting there, and she's just thinking, I don't really want to be here right now. You know, and as Frau Zander is explaining things, and my wife then at that moment had the Spirit convict her heart and said, Aaron, I've sent you not to just the healthy, clean people, but I've sent you to sit in the muck with people and share my good news with them. It's like, oh, okay, Lord. And that changed the whole focus for us to really to bless and love even more on Frau Zander. Because even though it was just, whether it be a physical or a stinky situation, or whether it be spiritual, and there's a lot of these family dynamics that are just really messy with broken families in Germany, we're there to be there with the people and sit in the muck with them and then provide that voice of hope and say, I've been there too in all those ways. I've been stinky in this family issue, whatever it be, and share, but Christ changed it for this. And so it was my opportunity one time. I got a phone call like 11 p.m. at night from Frau Zander. And I could just tell in her voice, she's just anxious and just almost in a panic. So I go down there as fast as I can and find out that she's just crying and weeping in her kitchen. I'm like, what's going on? She goes, oh, I've lost my bank card, and I can't do anything because she can't walk with cash to the store. She can't, a lot of times I've been ordering things and on phone and delivering. Like, if I don't have my bank card, I can't pay for things. How am I going to get this happen? And she's just, you know, overly come with this worry. And so like, okay. So I try to help her look around. I can't find it anywhere. And so they're like, all right, so let's sit down. So sit her down and I sit down. Like, can I just pray for you about this? You know, can we just pray? She's like, okay. And so I start praying. I'm praying for Frau Zander. I'm saying, Lord, can you like, you know, be with her, bring your comfort on her. Can you bring her peace and calm her down and just be with her, sure that you are real and being with her. And I can see this demeanor change in herself. She's calming down. Like, nah, she's breathing slower and things are going okay. And I keep on praying for peace to come over her. And then she starts slapping my leg and goes, the bank card. I'm like, okay, right. Yes. Yes, Lord. I'm so concerned about her and just calming her down. I'm like, okay, right. Okay, Lord. And can you help us find the bank card? Amen. And that was it, you know? And so she's like, oh, okay, amen. And so I stood up because I felt the urge to stand up. And I look into the cupboard underneath the teacups where I already looked just like, 10 minutes before. And I look there. And there leaning on the teacup is her bank card. I pull out and say, is this the bank card? And this old woman who had to walk with a walker, she lets go of her walker. She goes, yes! And she's jumping up like this. Oh, oh, oh. And she throws her arms around my shoulders like, oh, oh, I knew it. I still believe. I'm like, what do you believe? Find out that she believed. She went as a kid, as 12 years old, before the war broke out, went to a Lutheran church, and she knew a lot of these things about who Jesus was, but that seemed like dormant for a long, long, long time, until finally where Christ revealed herself in the simplest of prayers. And so, goodness. Next slide. What if there's a Frau Zander in your building or in your neighborhood? What if there's a Frau Zander in your community? Are you willing to sit in the muck and the stench and to join with these people to find and bring hope and joy? What if? What if you could bring that hope and that joy? What if through your prayers and your involvement, Christ could reveal himself in some powerful, amazing way? Next slide. So, what next? First of all, I wanted to say, thank you guys, awesome. You guys are awesome people. You guys have been giving so much to Lions Missions over the years. It has been amazing, actually, to see what you guys have been so heartfelt, like, let's do missions. We're going to do this. We're going to support it. So thank you for your faithful giving over the years. You guys rock. I'm going to clap for you guys. You guys rock. Yeah, I'm the one clapping there. Well, you guys are awesome, though. That's cool. You know, sweet. Thank you for your giving. I just want to rejoice with you guys that you guys have and actually sacrificed and given to missions over the years. That is something worth being celebrated. And so that is cool. The only thing I can say is, you know, remain true. Remain steadfast for that giving. Be encouraged to keep on going, that there is always more to Christ and there's always more opportunities to follow with Christ. And the biggest thing is, I don't want to tell you that you have to be involved with what's going on in Germany. I'd love it if you guys could. But the Holy Spirit moves and directs, and he's building his church. And he called me to Germany. He may not have called you. Whatever it may be, I want you guys to be encouraged to follow the Lord's leading and direction for what he has for you guys. In your giftings and in your resources and in your own abilities, Christ wants to do amazing things in and through you guys. Can you believe that Christ, if he wanted to, he could come down and take care of the world as it is and just say, hey, I'm king, you know? But strangely enough, I don't even want to call God strange or not, but bewilderliness enough, I don't know if that's a word or not, Christ and what he's doing wants to do things through his people. He wants to do things through you and you, which is crazy to think about and a great honor and also kind of, you know, sometimes feels like a daunting thing, like, oh my goodness, through me? But no, yeah, he wants to work through you guys because he wants to be the king of his people and have people worship and praise him. So follow God's leading in that. If I could pray to encourage you guys to do that, and if I could bless you in any way to do that or pray with you guys, but what is God leading us to do? I'd be willing to pray with you guys and help you walk as much as I can with you through that. And then also, if you guys could then return the favor. What we're doing in Vara in Germany is basically the same thing that you guys are doing here, just in a different context. You guys are trying to reach your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the earth. We're trying to do the exact same thing. Our Germans in our town, our Samaritans would be the Syrians who just got dropped there in 2016, you know? We have some Assyrian refugees in our town. And then also the Judea, trying to go to the neighboring towns of either Klink. Yeah, we have a neighbor, we have a town called Klink, and Neubrandenburg and Rostock and these areas around. So we're trying to read, how can we do that? And then how can we also train and raise and develop a basis that these Germans then can affect the rest of the world, the regions beyond, go into Poland and go into France and go into southern Germany and even Saxon Germany. Ooh, those are strange people there. But yeah. So we're trying to do the same thing as you guys. How can you guys reach your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, at the ends of the earth? And if we could somehow encourage one another in that, that would be awesome. Partnership, network, whatever it may be, so that we know that we're not doing it alone, that we're having the same challenge, joy, opportunity. I don't know how to say that. So, yeah. So, if you do want to give, the Great Commission Fund sends over 700 missionaries like me to over 30 different places around the world. Continue to give to the Great Commission Fund. Or if you feel compelled to give just to individual families or teams, if you want to say, I want to bless what's happening in Berlin or in VAR, and you can do that. So, if you can give financially, that is awesome and great. I encourage you to do so. Or if you want to go, there are opportunities like crazy to go to Germany or go to these other countries that you saw the flags back here. You can go send short-term teams or go send interns and things like that. We'd love to take interns. And so if you could go give, also most important of all is to pray for what God is doing. And I would say the only limit to your missions involvement is the only limit would be your own lack of your own creativity. So you're creative people. I've seen it. You guys are rock. You guys are awesome. So let's do this together, shall we? Nice. And I have the last thing. I think it's just Acts 1:8, yep, cool. Yeah, it is exciting to see what God is doing, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'll be in the back after the service, and also the lunch, too. Oh, yeah, lunch, food. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little long. I'm sorry with that. Food, I love food. Talk to me, and if you want to possibly either come for a short-term trip, we can talk about that. There's prayer cards in the back. Sign up for email updates if you'd like, and I'm just going to pray for us, and I'll pray for you guys, and then I'll hand it over. All right, cool. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here again. We just thank you for your goodness. I just pray for your blessing to come now, Lord God. May your Spirit come and move in the hearts of my brothers and sisters here. May you, Holy Spirit, bring visions of hope for the future, about reaching neighbors and families for Christ. May you come and show yourself in a real way and be powerfully active, because in your presence we find healing. In your presence we find joy. In your presence, Lord God, we find all that is needed in life. So we just pray, Lord God, may you come in your presence, speak, move, convict, call. Lord God, I just ask that you be alive and awake in all our hearts, Lord God. Praise in your name. Amen.